I do know what to do, and I'm still going to leave it up to you, actually, because it's always got to be your decision, because everything's got to be voluntary. Roger Sales back with you here on the Radio Ranch, the new host of what used to be the Ralph Winter Road Sunday evening show, and I will do my very best to take and fill Ralph's large shoes here and fulfill the audience that he's built over all these years with some very viable information that's extremely important that you never heard anybody else in our community go into at this depth with this accuracy and give you the way to untie the Gordian knot and achieve your total freedom from these monsters. And together, we get enough people doing that, we become a very formidable force. We don't need 300 million people doing it. All we need is a small, just like the country was founded off of, I don't remember which one of the fathers, Adams, or one of the guys said, we always a small people lighting brush fires in the minds of men. That's what we're doing. We're lighting the brush fire, reigniting for some of you, the brush fire of freedom that burns in your heart. And, you know, the embers were almost out, but I think we can fan them up and see if we can get a flame going and see if we can get you, one of the nicest things that a couple of people have said to me recently was, you know, first time in a long time, I got hope. Okay. And that's what we do is we offer you freedom and we offer you hope. And the fact that the more of us that can pull the rope here, and because it's a team effort, okay. It's an individual pursuit, but it's a team effort, and our success is going to depend upon how well we work as a team, how many people are out there and informing other people of what's going on and trying to educate them. And not everybody's going to do this. It's an amazing thing to me that everybody doesn't want freedom. You know, I remember when I did that Deanna Spingola interview that some of you have heard. If not, it's an excellent interview, one of the better ones I've ever done. And Deanna, I'd been on her show several times before trying to explain this to her, and she never got it. Well, boy, this time she got it, okay? And I was telling her, well, it releases you totally from the Fed system. And she said, well, who wouldn't want to do that? I said, well, don't get your hopes up, because you get out there and start talking to people about this, you're going to find a whole bunch of people that don't want to do it for a variety of reasons. And because it's their choice, you can't be critical of them. All you got to do is be able to pray for them, I guess. And I don't see it as my job here, if you will, my mandate, my mission, to get everybody to do this. Because it has to be voluntary and it has to be your choice, okay? But I do, and I can tell you what I consider my mission to be, and that is to at least to let you know that you've got a choice and to explain it to you as best I can. And I try to follow, and I'm not as well versed in the Bible side of this as I probably should be, as other people are, but, and I want to say it's in Ecclesiastes or one of those Old Testament chapters. It talks about the watch. Excuse me. Yeah, a watchman on the wall prophecy, you know, and it says you're a watchman on the wall, and if you see danger coming and you don't tell your fellow man, the blood's on your hands. But if you tell him and they don't heed what you're telling them, the blood's on their hands. And see, I want the blood on their hands. Okay, and so that's my duty, and I feel like is to at least do the very best I can to take people who are looking for answers and wanting to follow some course to at least know they've got a choice that by and far most of them never knew they had before that time. And that's what we do here at the Radio Ranch, and that's what we do on my, I'm on the air 5 days a week over on Eurofolk Radio at 11 to 1 Eastern, and happy to be there. And we have a little bit different format. We use a conversational board, and people, we have group discussions over there where people can ask questions, and it's mainly tailored these days for the newer folks that have questions about all this, and there's always a lot of questions, and that's very understandable. Okay, and so we try and answer them as best we can. As things have gotten so complex in our lives the last couple of years, and it's not quite as easy to answer all of them as it used to be. But anyway, that's what we do there. And then we've got this Sunday slot here, and I'm on another program, another network in the afternoon on Sunday, Patriot Soapbox, for a couple of hours from 12 to 2 Eastern time now, with a fellow named Thumper over there. So getting the message out and touching a lot of folks. People are starting to, you know, even the folks that are relatively new to this, and people are asking them about it. So I feel with my background, you know, I don't know that you know this, I haven't talked about it. I was in the pretty big time record business. It was a main part of my career. I spent 20 years in and around radio and the music industry and teaching about it there in the Atlanta area. And I had 4.5 states that I was responsible for calling on radio stations in and trying to get records played so we could tell if we got a hit. And, you know, after a few years of that, you got a sixth sense. You could tell if you got a couple of radio stations playing a record and things started happening with it, you had a sixth sense that the record probably had something in the grooves and was worth chasing. And it's the same thing with this, and I've known that something's in the grooves here for a long time, but we haven't had the activity on it and the interest that we're having from such a wide quarter here as in the last year and a half or so. Okay. And so it's very gratifying for me, and I see things really taking shape, and I know what a threat it is to our enemies here. Okay, this is the absolute bare bone basis of everything they do. Everything they do comes from this little trick that we're going to go into, and I'm hopefully going to be able to teach you, should you choose to, how to get out of it. Okay, so as we went into the top of the hour there, we're talking about the story out of Britain where the gal has the baby. They go to swab the baby with a PCR. The baby's squalling. The nurse, the mother tries to object, and the nurse says, "You can't object. This baby's our property," right to her face, right there in the hospital. Okay, well, that's where it starts. So what's going on here? What's magical? What's the 14th Amendment say? All persons born or naturalized in the United States. The term anchor baby come to mind, maybe, where foreign nationals can cross over the Rio Grande, or if they wanted to do it from Canada, they could. They get however here they can in whatever late stage of pregnancy and have their baby here in the U.S., like Kamala Harris, okay? And all of a sudden, they're United States citizens and the whole family can get in, extended cousins and all right? That's birthright citizenship. It comes from the 14th Amendment, and that's the only place it comes from. Before that, there's only two ways of transferring status to children. One is through the blood of the parents, and that's called jus terra, I believe. And the other is by the place, jus sanguinis, excuse me. Jus sanguinis. Sangui in Spanish is blood. Jus sanguinis, I believe, is the way that it is identified. And the other is jus terra. And that's where you're assigned a political status because of where you're born. Terra being earth. Okay. Now, that's what the 14th Amendment is. Obviously, that's what this situation over there in England was. And we get the further insight that there's something about property rights involved there. Okay, so this is your enemy and the way they think and how they've buffaloed us. If you don't know how they think, I'm not telling you to think like them. I'm just telling you that you got to know how they think. I heard a really interesting Sun Tzu quote in the last couple of days out of his famous book, The Art of War. He said, the most successful warrior wins a battle without firing a shot. Well, that's what we do. We win the battle by filing one sentence with one particular guy, and they're done, okay? And so when they bring this assigning a political status at birth into the picture, there's only one system of law in the entire history of the world that's ever had that. And it was a very integral part of that thousand-year system of law. And that was the feudal system. The feudal system that started in Europe and lasted for a thousand years, that invaded the English common law in 1066 when William the Conqueror came over and defeated Harold there on the southern part of England and brought in the European common law, which included at that point feudalism. Okay. And so most of our people don't have a great deal of knowledge about feudalism. And it's something you need to have a little bit of knowledge about because that's the system you're in. Okay, so you wonder why our people have been unsuccessful at defeating this? Well, hell, they don't even know the system they're playing in. How are you going to know the rules when you don't even know the system you're in? We're playing constitutional law. These guys are playing feudal merchant law. You're going to lose every time. That's why we're in the condition we're in. Well, that's changed. We know what it is now. Okay. And so if you understand that about the feudal system, it was a very important aspect of the feudal system because it was one of the ways that on the manor, as they called it, on the manor labor force was perpetuated. And they didn't have to constantly go out and get at slaves and go buy them on the open market and do all that stuff. They were constantly being born into the system there on the manor, and this was part of it. Okay, in the feudal system, there was two different types of what you'd call villains. Villains, and the women were called knaves. Okay, now, if you want to go to the law dictionary and start making some of this information yours, its spelling is a little bit different because its origin was French. And so, even though it's pronounced villain, it's spelled villein, V-I-L-L-E-I-N, villein. And should you go to one of the dictionaries and start looking up villain, villein, you're going to find there's a number of different kinds, okay? And one of them, the one we think they're using, probably one of the more common varieties of serfs, was called a villain regardant. Regardant, villain regardant. And if you look in Black's, the definition, the definition out to the right there says a villain attached to the land, my comment property, and transferable by deed. A villain attached to the land and transferable by deed. Well, that's what's going on, okay? And so as those types of villains were called voluntary, and then they had another type called involuntary. Now, the involuntary serf or villain was very similar and almost exact, actually, in the capacity of Black slaves in our country or the traditional view of slavery, okay? And they couldn't get out of it except one way. And the only way that an involuntary serf could get out of their servitude was if they were a bastard. Because if they were a bastard, there was always a chance that they were fathered by the sire of the manor, and that slim chance would get them out of the condition. That was the only way. Okay. Now, the other side of the coin is another animal called a voluntary serf. And the voluntary serf was just what it says it is. He volunteered into the condition. And, of course, that also means reciprocally that he can volunteer out because it's a contract. If you want to look at this as a contract, you can find it in a couple of different places on the your whatever your favorite search engine is. Go in there and put in oath of fealty, O-A-T-H, oath. Of fealty, F-E-A-L-T-Y. You can see what's going to come up there and take your choice. If you may remember Monty Python's Holy Grail, Monty Python had a lot of feudal stuff in his films. And in Holy Grail, they've got a complete oath of fealty session demonstrated right there in the movie. Now, whether you read about it or whether you go back and find that and look at it, here's what the ceremony consisted of. The lord of the manor would be standing. You, as the incoming voluntary serf, would kneel before him, put your hands kneeling before the standing lord. You would put your hands on your head as if you were praying. He would place his hands over yours. All the other serfs, or at least some of them from the manor, would be there as witnesses. This is a contract, oral contract, called a parole contract in law. Okay? And you would give a pledge that you pledge to him your body as property and all of your worldly goods to the lord of the manor. Well, one of the reasons you gave him your worldly goods is because now you were his property. He had a property right in you, and that means you can't own other property. You can possess it, but you're going to give it to the lord of the manor in your oath, because now that you've given your body as property, he has a property right in you, you can't own anything else. Okay? And so that was the oath of fealty. And as long as you chose to stay on the manor, you were in that condition. However, you could volunteer back out at any time. The only stipulation was if there was what's called in a contract consideration. Okay? If, you know, like I'll like earnest money for a house. Well, I want to buy your house. Well, okay, what's your earnest money? Well, that's consideration. Okay? And if there was any consideration given in the oral contract or the arrangement, then when you volunteer out, you had to give that back. But there was none given with us. We were just born into it and assigned this fraudulent condition at birth, unbeknownst to us, in place to pay off a fraudulent hypothecated bankruptcy debt that was activated on March the 9th of 1933. That's the day the system changed. So what they're doing is running this little scam underneath where they're assigning you this condition and making you a surety for the hypothecated national debt and bringing in all of these underlying legal concepts, theories, and history that you had no idea of. Okay? So you always thought you were government property? Well, guess what? You are. If you haven't gone through this little exercise of, and you got to alert this one specific guy, that's the Secretary of State. In this federal feudal system, the Secretary of State is the lord of the manor that's in charge of all matters concerning citizenship. All matters that concern citizenship are the auspices and the authority of the Secretary of State of the United States. Why? Why has he got all that power? Because he's the guy that issues passports, and always has, since the start of the country. So we've got a court site. Once again, I thank a listener that, given one of these programs early on, some listener sent me this site. It's from an 1835 court case, Supreme Court case. It's called Ubuntu v. DRC, kind of a weird spelling. Remember, this is 1835. This is pre-14th Amendment. There was only one status back then, the original state status. And I'm afraid we're going to get right up on the break here, and I'll probably have to carry this on the other side. But Ubuntu v. DRC, we'll talk about when we get back on the other side of this break.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Koshertify, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
All right. Alvin Lee ripping on his guitar there, that red Gibson that he used to play. Roger Sales back with you here. We were talking about a Supreme Court case a listener sent me early on, given these lessons on the airwaves. Ubututu, I believe is the way it's pronounced, versus DRC, and it's 1835, and that was before the 14th Amendment. There was only one status, the now called a national, the original state citizen, and the court case is talking about a passport. It opens up talking about it. A passport is simply a document under Vattel's, I'm paraphrasing here, a document issued under Vattel's Law of Nations that is to present you to other foreign countries. It is rather in the capacity of a political document is what the court case says. It says, but if this is to be held in a light of citizenship, it's an entirely different question. And it's not, the passport is nothing but an ex parte, a separate part, an ex parte document. And it's whatever paperwork that's in possession of the Secretary of State, which if in a form which can be admissible in a court of law, should be considered the higher and better evidence. So here's what you got to learn, and we've all been conditioned to fear these guys. They've gone to great lengths to give us the impression that they've got all this power that they don't have unless we give it to them by answering those two questions, yes. Okay. And so they want to come in and intimidate you, but what you've got to understand is they can't tell you what you are. That's why they've gone to all this trouble to switch everything around in our world, where they can ask you those two questions and you not knowing what they really mean and what they're really asking you, and been conditioned on top of it to say yes, like Pavlov's dog when the bell rang, you're going to salivate. Yes, boom, boom, sign something. Okay? And the reason they've gone to all that trouble is because it's got to be voluntary. And so they tricked you into voluntarily okaying their fraud and voluntarily being functionally illiterate, giving them the consent of the governed. Well, because we know now we're in the feudal system, if it goes one way, it goes the other way. And you've been volunteered in without your knowing. You've been tricked into agreeing with it without you knowing. And now that you do know, you can remove yourself from it, and they can't say a flipping word. And they don't say a flipping word. It's the only thing, and I've been teaching people to do this for 11 years. Okay, just about this month, actually. And there's never been one incident of blowback. Or there have been a couple of attempts, feeble attempts, by these guys to put out what I call a bluff letter. And people would send in their application with a passport, and they'd get back this letter that purported to say no. I said, oh, it was always the same first paragraph. And the paragraph reads, again, paraphrasing here, it appears by what you have submitted that you're a citizen of the United States, and it quotes the 14th Amendment, all persons born or naturalized, blah, blah, blah. And it says, blah, 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 except the paragraph always ended the same way, except by operation of law. Huh, isn't that interesting? Like, you mean like Vattel's Law of Nations or something like that? That kind of law? Yeah. You know, if you ever have read, and I'm sure everybody here has heard of, a document called Silent Weapons for Quiet Wars. It was the blueprint of this from the 50s or the 60s that some government agency had in a copier that got scrapped and sold, and some copier repair guy or somebody bought it at an auction and went in and found this document in there. It's called Silent Weapons for Quiet Wars. And down at the bottom of it, in one of the footnotes, it makes a simple statement. It says, their consent is our victory. Their consent is our victory. Well, unconsent and give them a defeat. Okay? Now, as I said, I've never told anybody to do this. And you're basically going in and dictating and telling somebody what system of law you want to live under. Okay? And if you file this paperwork, if you choose to do that, and file it with the Secretary of State, however, to file it, you are basically getting re-access to the common law that's been hidden from us. Up to this point, you've only had civil rights. You know, you hear all these people, all these great lawyers, man, that we've got in our community, Patriot community, all the Sidney Powells and Lynn Woods and Robert whatever his name is and Rudy Giuliani and all these top-notch lawyers, and they get up, all these Congress people and all these talk show hosts, and they get up there and tell you about their constitutional rights. You can't trample on my constitutional rights. You heard them say that? We'll talk about it on the other side of this.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Standing 6'4", weighing in 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science, analyzing brawn. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian. And my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. F*** you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
Extendivite 7-herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
All right, we come back from that little break there and try and pick up where we were. And I don't know that I can, because I think I've forgotten where we were. And that's the problem with commercial breaks and this type of information. But it's something you got to live with here. So anyway, what we're talking about is how you've been enslaved, how when they assigned you a political status at birth because your parents were in the condition and you were born into it, and then you were assigned this condition on where you were born as your political status, and that brought in the feudal system underneath, unbeknownst to you. As that system moves forward, let me explain to you how the rest of it works. The nexus that represents that is the birth certificate, but it doesn't cause it. It represents it. Now, we know this firsthand from one of my better students who was, this happened in the Austin area right there. We're Republic in the area Republic is centered in and we originate from, and I'm not sure of the hospital in Austin, but I had a student who was a 4-year scholarship football player to the University of Texas there. And stayed in Austin for a while after he graduated. He's fairly fearless. And so he had two daughters, and they were both born at the same hospital. Well, he got into this birth certificate stuff real heavy. And so he decided to go to the hospital and try and get some information, and he did it like this. He went in under a pretense, went in with cutoffs, flip-flops, T-shirt on, two daughters in tow, and he takes them into the administrative floor up there in the hospital, I guess the third floor, I think, and started asking the lady questions. And his reason was that I'm building a folder for my daughters so that any of these really important birth documents that they need, they can access easily when they get older, and they'll all be in one place. Pretty good story, okay? So anyway, the lady hemmed and hawed around, and she brought out this one document finally that was called a verification of facts, VOF. And it's got all of the vitals and stuff of the baby's birth, the weight, the hair color, eye color, probably the little footprints and little handprints or whatever, all that stuff they put on there. And then there's spaces at the bottom of that document there where the mother and father can sign, and it wasn't signed. And so he kept badgering the woman, and she finally got a little bit disgusted with him, I guess, and said, listen, I'm just to get rid of him, you know, I'm going to send you down to the basement where all this takes place, and you can talk to them. They can answer your questions, probably. So they get sent down to the basement, same deals, got the daughters in tow, cutoffs, flip-flops, goes up to the desk, tells the nice lady what he's looking for, and the lady turns to him and says, wait a minute. And she goes off for about 10 minutes, and when she returns, the first thing she says is, you're not going to use anything I tell you against us, are you? Kind of an incriminating comment, wouldn't you agree? And so then she goes on to explain to him what happens here, all right? And what happens when a child is born, and this is evidently in every facility in the United States, because evidently they get paid as a hospital for this when they get a birth certificate issued. So when the child is born, that sheet that I referenced, verification of facts, is filled out. It's never signed by the parents. At that point, it's taken over to a government computer terminal, which is in every hospital in the country, or at least that has any kind of birthing stuff. And all of that data off the verification of facts is typed into that terminal, very crude terminal. I mean, from the standpoint of no fancy software or anything, okay? But then it's transferred over to an agency or an organization called the Bureau of Vital Statistics, a state agency. And it's at the Bureau of Vital Statistics where the birth certificate is printed. And once it's printed, it's put in a bank safe with armed guards 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Why in the world would they do something like that? Because underneath, I think you're going to find that the birth certificate is serving, like so much else here, a dual function. First thing is it represents your birth and it gives all the information of your birth, etc. The secondary thing it is serving as a law merchant, a merchant law document. You can go look this up on the internet, called a warehouse receipt. A warehouse receipt. Been around a long time in the merchant law, and it's where the paper actually takes on the quality of the good. So if you want to look at it as bales of cotton in the old days, there's a great, I remember John referenced when we were studying this, and he was telling us about it, a case from the late 1700s, which involved a bale of cotton. And so a bale of cotton, you can't just, you know, go throw it on your shoulders and carry it around and do everything you want to do with it. They weigh, you know, maybe 70, 100 pounds, no telling how much. You know, they're pretty big, they're weighty, they're cumbersome. And so this warehouse receipt is just a piece of paper. So if you've got the cotton in the warehouse and it's represented by a warehouse receipt, the warehouse receipt, the paper, actually takes on the quality of the good. And the good, the bale of cotton, then takes on a shadowy existence in the warehouse. So that's what a warehouse receipt is, and that's what we believe is the function that a birth certificate is serving, especially if you go back to that Black's Law Dictionary, a definition of villain regardant, transferable by deed. Okay, so then they take, no doubt, take the birth certificate. If it didn't have value, they wouldn't put it in an armed guard bank safe, would they? Okay, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, a bunch of guards sitting around and guarding a safe full of birth certificates, because that is representative of the people and their future labor. Then they take that birth certificate over and they attach it to bonds. You know, there's two different kinds of markets. We all concentrate. You hear the stock market talked about. The bond market's 10 times bigger than the stock market. And that's where all of these human souls are being represented and sold. And the birth certificate is attached to the bonds as collateral. Okay, and then the Treasury sells bonds. They got all kinds of different bonds, 6 month, I guess 1 month, 3 month, 6 month, 1 year, 3 year, 5 year, the benchmark 10-year U.S. bond, Treasury note, that all of the other interest rates for mortgages, car loans, etc., all over the world are pegged to, the 30-year loan. There's even countries that are issuing 100-year bonds. So our Argentina offered and issued a 100-year bond a couple of years ago. Whoever would buy a 100-year bond in Argentina has got to be nuts, okay? Now, that comes from somebody that lived down there, all right? But those are fulfilled by the birth certificate and the collateral being attached to the bonds. That is the statement, the full faith and credit of the United States. The full faith and credit in the United States is not in a Federal Reserve note, what we erroneously call money. There's another one of those double-minded knot deals, okay? The full faith and credit is that the people who support the day-to-day running of the government by buying these bonds will get their coupon payments on time. And that's the purpose the IRS serves. The IRS is the collection agency. Now that your future income has been collateralized for this hypothecated debt from 1933, the IRS comes in and makes sure that you, quote unquote, voluntarily contribute so they can get enough money in to go pay the bondholders the coupon payment on their bonds. That's the full faith and credit of the United States. That's the whole system right there. And the reason that they went this feudal route and it's so desirable to them is because in the process, your property, they can collateralize your future labor and have a basis of the financial system. And then they can build a whole administrative deep state of all 500 plus administrative agencies of these unelected bureaucrats that sit in these key positions and promulgate these regulations where sometimes the original intent of the legislation is 180 degrees different from the regulation that's promulgated and published and passed by these man-made lawmakers called little laws, the fourth estate, promulgated regulations, and then the administrative agency SWAT team comes out and dings you. So that's the advantage of them having us in this condition where they have a property right in us. They get to not only make the man-made laws to control us, but they also get to collateralize our future income, which is the basis of the whole world reserve currency. Everything that they're doing goes back to this little deal right here of them making you property at birth. It's a scam. It's just like the Wizard of Oz. We're just like Toto pulling the curtain back on these magicians. And that's why they stand mute, because this is their worst nightmare, is this information getting out. Okay? And so what do you do? Well, you go back, and one of the important things that I found, we're going to run out of time here tonight, and I'm sorry, I'd love to open up the phones, and maybe next week we'll do that for questions before we move on to the income tax stuff. I usually like to give these presentations where I've got somebody I'm talking with, and it's more conversational. Here it's been me on a soapbox here tonight. And so anyway, what I found and what I was going to send you to, if you're having a hard time believing any of this, and some of you may be, I don't know, I would like for you to go to this website, again, so you can see this with your own eyes, because if I just tell you what's there, you may think I'm lying to you, okay? This is what we're going to cover earlier, all right? So the website I'd like for you to go to, I'm assuming both of you are sitting in front of a computer, is travel.state.gov. I'll repeat all this stuff twice here. Travel.state.gov. Now, that is the State Department's website, okay? And after you've got that, travel.state.gov, up there on the top right is the search field. And this is what I'd like for you to type in. We're looking for a very, very serious, incriminating for us, for them, policy statement from the Department of State. This is a policy document we're going to go to. Its title is Certificate of Non citizen nationality, certificate of non-citizen nationality. Now, when you get hit enter, there's going to be a number of choices. Just take the top one, okay? And this is a policy statement. Now, let me tell you what this is for. There's a lot of really key information on this page right here, okay? And it is a policy statement because they're telling this group of people called non-citizen nationals who are actually American Samoans and only American Samoans why they're not issuing them this document called a Certificate of Non-Citizen Nationality anymore. And so to be able to basically tell them to apply for a passport, which is what they're doing, because they don't issue these documents anymore because the price of paper and the price of ink has gotten so absorbent. I'm not kidding you. That's their reason in this document. Absurdity. But to tell the American Samoans about this, they had to set up the lie that American Samoans cannot be birthright citizens with the truth. And so if you've got that up, travel.state.gov, Certificate of Non-Citizen Nationality, I'd like for you to drift your eyes down to the third paragraph, okay? And I want you to read the first 10 words. I'm going to quote them here, but you can follow along. Because if I was just telling you this, you may not believe me. Because as I said, this is one of the few times the most honest you're ever going to see these bastards, all right? So it says, according to the INA, now the INA is the Immigration and Naturalization Act, okay, according to the INA, listen to me now, all U.S. citizens are U.S. nationals. And it goes on to say, but only some people are nationals and not citizens. That's the American Samoans. And the whole rest of the document deals with them. But to set up the lie that they have put these people in to hide things, they had to come out with the truth. And that's what those 10 words are. According to the INA, Immigration and Naturalization Act, all, A-L-L, that means pretty well inclusive, all U.S. citizens are U.S. nationals. So the questions then become, you know, did you know you had a dual political status? No, obviously you didn't. Has anybody ever asked you if you're a national? No, they don't want to bring this out. Has anybody ever asked you, are you a citizen of the United States or a national? No. Well, if not, why not, when both of these statuses are equal? These are dual political statuses according to the Immigration and Naturalization Act and the policy statement in a policy document from the guy that's got all final authority over all matters concerning citizenship. Oh, you didn't know you had a dual political status. Well, that's the game they're playing here. That's why they only ask you one side of that in those questions. Are you a citizen of the United States? They never say, or are you a national? They try and hide it, although they've got to put it out there because it's a legitimate status. And all you're doing, you're not expatriating here. You're repatriating back to the original state citizen status, now called a national, to try and further hide it. And they went to a whole bunch of trouble to put this whole group of people on the other side of the world down there in this little bitty island, looks like an almond on a map, called American Samoa. It's not Samoa. Samoa's the big island next door. This is a very small island called American Samoa. It's the only unincorporated territory in the entire federal system. And supposedly it's because our leaders are so benevolent. You know how benevolent they are, liking to, you know, preserve cultures and stuff, is that they want to preserve the Fa-Samoan culture, where the people actually own their land in a loyal title. And it depends on how many people own what land as to what position they set in the legislature and make the laws for the rest of the country. Okay? And so what they did was they hid the same characteristics as a state citizen with God-given rights, now called a national in federal bureaucracy, over behind this one where they're calling them non-citizen nationals. We'll wrap it up as best we can on the other side here.
Life is funny, skies are sunny, bees made honey, who needs money more for me?
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-in lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. Easeoff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
Easeoff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
We're back. Okay. So that little document we're talking about, we're going to run out of time for this week here in a minute. I'm going to try and get as much in as we can. That policy statement from the State Department is incredibly important. There's a little ways underneath that, the body of that letter and what it concerns. And as to the American Samoans, there's a couple of excerpts from the Immigration and Naturalization Act. And one of them underneath there says a very simple statement. A national, doesn't say non-citizen national, it says national. This is done to fool you and hide the national behind the non-citizen national. Okay, and it says a national owes total allegiance to a small less state. Well, there's the state citizen right there. Goes back to our definition of jurisdiction, protection for allegiance, allegiance for protection. A national owes total allegiance to a small s state. And then down just another couple of paragraphs, it tells you what a federal state is, D.C., Puerto Rico, and the territories, and those are all capital S states. So they're right there on that policy document. If you look at it, you understand these law basics that are floating around that I'm going to teach you a little as we get time and go forward in this, so that everybody can always, if you learn this stuff, they'll never be able to fool you again. That's the important part. Okay. And so there's the statement, a national owes total allegiance to a small S state. Well, you, unfortunately, and we all have been put into servitude, just like that British baby, from the time we were born. We've been collateralized and we've been utilized and ridden like an old horse and put up wet with the IRS coming in to bathe you at the end of the day. Okay, you can get out of this. And if you look at the bottom of that document, you can see a one-sentence disclaimer that literally will remove you from the federal system. It's not pages. It's not court sites. It's not anything else. Remember, this is your choice, not theirs. If it's their choice as to what you are, it's tyranny. That's why they've gone to all this trouble where they can ask you those two questions and get your agreement. Now, that one sentence at the bottom says, I blank blank do solemnly swear my intent to be a national and not a citizen of the United States. That talks about somebody 18 in Northern Mariana Islands and all that stuff there above it in a paragraph. I call it fluff, okay? And at one time, no doubt, the Northern Marianas were probably considered a territory. But it's saying that you can voluntarily change your status, and all you have to do is send them that simple a sentence. I, whatever my name is, do solemnly swear my intent to be a national and not a citizen of the United States. And when that's put in the mail, either with or without a passport application, and we advise that people do both, okay, when that's put in the mail, it's considered received. So the minute you put that in the mail, you can get it notarized or you can just sign it. You can also get two witnesses to witness it, which suffices for a notary if you don't have one close and you can't get to them. But all it takes is a declaration. You don't have to have it notarized, but it's better if it's notarized, because then it goes back to that 1835 case, if admissible in a court of law. And an affidavit is the highest form of truth in law if it's properly formed, properly executed, presented to proper authority, and stands unrebutted. And they can't rebut it when you tell them what you want to be, because it's your choice, not theirs. If it's their choice, say, no, you can't be a national. Well, then you're open tyrants, aren't you? So since these things are equal according to your own policy document, are you an open tyrant or are you just openly discriminating against me? Okay, you've always got them with their backs against the wall because it's all based on fraud and they've got to recognize it. So listen, I wish we could have gotten into it a little bit more. We'll talk about it next Sunday night and we'll finish this up and take some calls too. So hope you all got something about it out of it. I'll either see you at my place or see you next week here. Have a good night and a good week.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today because you can handle the truth.